Stephen Markley is the acclaimed author of Ohio, which NPR called a masterpiece, a graduate of the Iowa Writers' Workshop. Markley's books include the memoir Publish This Book and the travelogue Tales of Iceland. His new novel, The Deluge, is an American epic charting a near future, approaching collapse, and a nascent but strengthening solidarity. Stephen will be talking about and signing the book tomorrow night at the Odyssey Bookshop in South Hadley, Massachusetts at 7 p.m. In the first decades of the 21st century, the world is convulsing, its governments mired in gridlock, while a patient but unrelenting ecological crisis looms. America is in upheaval, battered by violent weather and extreme politics. Stop me if you've heard this before. Spanning from 2013 to 2040, a range of characters attempt to avert catastrophic climate change, sometimes at great personal risk and with varying degrees of success. The new book is The Deluge. It is published by Simon & Schuster, and we welcome Stephen Markley to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me.
Well, it's a great pleasure to have you on the program. Well, sir, this is 880 pages. It's a book and a half, man.
Yeah, just a quick beach read. You know, you do it with a daiquiri in hand.
At what point did they say, Stephen, we're going to publish this in January? Because that's when people read 800-page books. Did you know what you were getting into in the sense that it would be of this length? And by the way, I don't think, you know, if I were your editor, don't take a page out of this. This is perfect.
But it's
obviously a huge story that you are telling. Did you always know that it would have that large of a scope?
Yeah, you know, when you get halfway through a book and it's already 500 pages, you're sort of beginning to understand the morass you're dipping into. And, you know, the final draft that I wrote before turning it into my editor, it was 1,500 pages. So I managed to cut 200, get it to him at 13. And then the editing process for 3 years was like, this book, in order for people to enjoy it, for them to sort of like learn about the climate crisis and understand our situation, it's going to have to move. It's going to have to be a page turner. So hopefully it succeeds in being a gripping and engrossing read.
Talk a little bit about the style of the book, because there are certain sections that have sidebars and there's different parts to the book. It does move very quickly. There are little blurts, there are little chapters. There are a lot of things that lead it to be something that you can go through pretty quickly.
Yeah, well, I mean, my theory was there are basically six different point of view characters, and each character's story is told in a different fashion. And without spoiling anything, the way in which each character's story is told has to do with the overall like arc of the book. Like, you're trying to learn who is telling the story in each section, right? And there are also, you know, news stories, headlines, sort of contextless bits of social media, just to give that one, you know, 360-degree view of this, you know, near-future society that looks an awful lot like the society we're living in right now.
I'm curious as to, so how long from beginning to end did it take you to write?
I started it in 2010 at the same time I started Ohio. So
okay.
It's been 13 years in the making, yeah.
So do... I mean, obviously, facts don't change, you know, hugely. But when you're talking about something of what we know of science, of the concern, the rapidity, also of what's happening politically in the country, 3 years after you start, let's say, writing this, what happens, well, 6 years actually after you start, but after the book starts its timeline, of how you sort of account for that.
Well, I mean, the scary part of writing the book was the real world kept usurping what I was writing, or kept surpassing it. So In terms of the climate, in terms of the extremity of our politics, it really has just been like I was trying to catch up to what was actually happening, even though I was writing this, terrifying book of the future. You read the description at the beginning, which I hadn't heard in a minute, and I was just like, oh, this sounds like he's just like talking about a news story. You know what I mean? It's just
right.
Like the fictional element of the book has run headlong into what we're all living through.
Right. We have this huge problem, and we're trying to figure out what to do with it. And some people are taking it really seriously. Some people are not taking it seriously at all. And others just say, okay, I mean, what should I do? And what kind of car should I drive? Yeah.
Oh, for sure. And I think a lot about what the book is about is how do we change this? Like, it takes the problem at a technical, political, sociological, economic level and looks at all of those factors and hopefully gives the reader an idea of what will actually be necessary to avert catastrophe and really change our situation.
I was struck page 200, page 639, for those of you keeping score at home, is a New Yorker article that you write, and it is dated October 27th, 2036. The title of that, A Year of Wonders on the Unraveling of 2036, How Close Are We to the Brink? As you mentioned with the introduction, how many times have we seen that article title?
Yeah, well, just because we pulled back from the brink a few times doesn't mean it's not there. I think what that article in my proposed future is explicating is at some point the knock-on effects of the climate crisis, sort of the what it does to our economy, what it does to our politics, and what it does to us at an interpersonal level are going to become too difficult to deal with. And so we should do everything we can to pull back from the brink before all that happens.
So how do we pull back in your novel? Did you see that it was possible to pull back and have these characters deal with the challenges of doing just that?
Well, yeah. I mean, I spent the first part of the book constructing this really terrifying future and looking at the trends we're going through and extrapolating those trends into the next 20 years, right? So that was a big portion of that time was spent scaring the hell out of myself. And then at some point when I was finishing the book, I had to decide, okay, all of this happens, what do we do? And at that point I went looking for, the people, the policies, and the sort of the levers we can pull to affect the enormous change we have to affect in the course of the next, 7 years, but also going forward the next 30 or 40 years. And I came to decide, look, this is all doable. We have every technology we need to start rapidly decarbonizing the global economy. We know every policy we should implement. It's just a matter of, can we summon the societal will to push our political leaders to act?
With that said, let us not forget that this book is an entertainment, right? I mean, you're writing a hell of a story. It's a really an amazingly rich, beautiful read. Yes, you're scaring us and apparently yourself in the process, but you're trying to tell a really good story here.
Absolutely. And I think for me, part about writing about the climate crisis was you're looking at it through the eyes of the people we are, fathers and mothers and daughters and husbands and wives. And you're getting this sense of, we want to save this world because we have people we love in it. it's not this abstract thing. It's about our relationships. And so making sure every character was real and rich and had the potential for change and activating sort of the reader's sense of, what do you love about being alive on this gorgeous planet. I think that was a big aim of the book.
It's hard not to be haunted by this novel, I think.
Well, thank you. I mean, that is the intention. That is absolutely the intention.
I want to haunt you. That's a good tagline.
Yeah.
So this is interesting. I think this is interesting. So while you're writing this, you are also working on Only Murders in the Building on Hulu with Steve Martin and Martin Short.
Correct.
Yeah. So how does that happen? What Because that seems like a schizophrenic day to me.
Yeah, well, it came about because the executive producer, Dan Fogelman, had read Ohio, which I should also mention is not a lighthearted romp.
No,
It's a serious and dark book as well. But yeah, you know, I got offered the job, and it was my first ever TV job. We did it all on Zoom because it was the pandemic. And I definitely had that, you know, kind of like split personality of going to work on this show and also writing this terrifying book about the future during one of the most difficult times, I think it was, you know, to be a human alive on the planet. But at the same time, working on that show, it's like the other writers in the room were so funny. I like some days I would cough up a lung laughing. And I think it was just in a way a huge relief to have something to turn to that was just sort of joyful. And I think when you watch that show, you definitely get a sense of the fun we had in crafting it.
Obviously, I did not make this connection while reading the novel. It wasn't until later when I read about it. But there's a character from the show that's in the novel.
Oh, sure. I mean, you know, and that actually was an accident, you know. When that character got cast, I was like, oh, no, this person's already mentioned in the book. So, but, you know, just a happy coincidence, I think.
A happy coincidence. Well, that's smart, too, on your part, you know. get you know, sell the potatoes. That's good for you. You worked on season one. You worked on season two. Will you go back, or are you?
I'm off doing just book stuff. Season three, I think, is getting ready to shoot, or it started shooting. But I'm on to other projects.
This is my final question. This may come off as a snarky question, and I apologize. But are you capable of writing, say, like a 300 or 400 page novel?
I honestly doubt it. I think it would be an interesting challenge for me. But the problem is, I get going, and you know, just my natural excitement sort of carries me through the first 500 pages without blinking. Maybe at some point I'll sit down with my editor and try to think of a 300-page novel.
Well, I have to say it's a hell of a book. I read this several months ago when it was in Galley, and it is really amazing. And I'm so glad I got you on the show, and I'm really glad you're going to be in our region tomorrow night at the Odyssey Bookstore in South Hadley, Massachusetts, 7 o'clock, odysseybks.com. Stephen Markley, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Again, you can find out more at odysseybks.com. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.